Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Welcome to the Safety Third Podcast. This episode is a very special episode. We have our normal hosts and then our new, I think almost basically permanent host at this point, Bernard.
Hello.
AKA
Welcome back.
Chubby Emu, the internet's favorite doctor who shows you how you could die if you do the things that you think about. You know, what do you call the invasive thoughts? Like, what if I ate this whole jar of vitamins? What would happen? You know, like, are you going to... When Kevin and I tried to make cotton candy out of Flintstone vitamins as a way to trick kids into eating their vitamins. And imagine if they got into the stash. Now we know.
I wish that stuff worked out, man. I really wanted to try the sour cotton candy.
It's impossible to turn Flintstone vitamins into cotton candy. I want to share a comment that I read. I think that we should start this episode off with some positivity. This is a comment to kind of get us going. You know, the audience is the best part of this podcast. It's not us. You don't need hosts. You just need viewers. Even if we didn't make podcast, you could have the viewers sit for an hour and a half just staring at a screen imagining the podcast existed. I'm not gonna read the name. I mean, I could. It's not bad. It's more funny. Bro, Will or Zach, start linking your Patreon to videos and this channel. There is zero links other than that in the last video where you guys mentioned it. Come on, run this channel better. I want this channel to be successful, as I love it, but you guys are running it into the ground. This is like, you know when your parents are not, they're not mad at you, but they're disappointed. It's like the worst way to make your parents upset.
And you kind of know that he's right, maybe.
Right. You guys barely promoted it. Look at Trash Taste. They started their podcast around the same time, and their viewership is much higher. 1 million views for every episode. Now we're being compared to our sister. Like, your sister is getting better grades and is going to law school. And look at you. Look, you're a doctor, but you make YouTube videos. You're a chemist, but you make YouTube videos. Kevin, you're a dropout, but you make YouTube videos.
I've never even heard of Trash Taste, to be honest.
I went and watched it after, but
I thought it was cool.
Even though the host's individual channels have way less view count than yours combined, they never stop promoting it. So every individual viewer of each of their channels knows about their combined podcast. Alan, Kevin, Peter, Will, and Nigel barely promote this podcast. I have literally never promoted it. What do you mean barely promoted it?
I promoted it once.
Twice.
Put it in my community posts.
My Nigel defense is I haven't post posted... I haven't posted a video, so.
All right, it keeps going.
My opportunities were very few.
We never promote it, while Joey, Grant, and Connor promote Trash Taste in almost every video on their individual channels. Even their guests talk about Trash Taste on their own channels. That's broadening exposure and viewership. Come on, guys.
You know.
Kevin promoted it, though. Kevin is the best out of all of us.
He is. I promote it on Twitter.
Who is Trash Taste? Trash Taste, anyway.
It's like an anime.
Yeah, clearly they're not promoting enough to Kevin.
The anime guy, right?
For Kevin to hear it.
Yeah. Who here watches anime? Bernard, do you watch anime?
I don't
either.
What? Thank you.
Even though I make anime jokes about my hair or whatever, like the only one I've ever seen was Dragon Ball Z.
That counts.
But like the English version, right?
The dubbed, the dubbed version. Yeah.
Although there was a long time ago where the Dragon Ball GT was playing back in like the 90s on like cable in Japanese. It was good, but like I didn't know what they were saying.
Oh, not even subbed?
No, it wasn't subbed. And then it used to be Sunday night. They would play it, and then Armored Trooper Votoms would play right before it. I forgot what the channel was, but it was like this bizarre like Illinois Japanese channel that you got on cable. I think we weren't even supposed to have it, but we had it.
It was like a bug. They assumed nobody was going to watch it because you couldn't understand it.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude. Anime is like, it's so easy to watch and it's so like forgettable. It's like brain dead. I think that's why I like it. I have this theory. I mean, I think Kevin's going to be probably only the major contributor of this theory. Do you watch sub or dub? Look, we're becoming trash taste. That's sort of the my takeaway from that comment.
Okay.
I've watched about 20 minutes of one of their podcasts. I don't really know entirely what they do, but.
All right, for
sub or dub.
I'm so tired when you said, "Do you watch sub or dub?" I was like, "That's literally like a thing."
If it's an actual live action TV show or movie, I watch the sub. I watch the sub. If it's an anime, I'll watch the dub.
Why? Japanese stuff have you watched?
Not like a movie in a different language, like a Korean movie or something like that. I'll watch the sub, but if it's a TV show, like an animated one, I'll watch the dub, because it's like when the translation is wrong to their mouth, like if the subtitles in the actual language, like dub, mess up, I can't watch it. So I have to watch the sub without the dub.
So but I mean, like, if you're watching a foreign film, you would rather it be dubbed, but then the mouths don't line up.
No, I'd rather it be sub.
Oh, the foreign film you want sub, but the anime you want
dub. Yeah,
wait, but the foreign film, then you're just gonna read the text. Wait, do you mean it backwards?
No. So like, say you're watching a movie, like I don't know, old boy or something.
What's the oldest movie ever made? I'm trying to think.
It's like
Sharknado 4.
But,
okay, I'm watching Sharknado.
So say like the subtitles, the guy says, "Oh, I'm going to kill you," and then the voice actor says, "I'm going to make you wish you were never born," and then, you know, they'll both.
We don't
like
watch
whoever
the subs
does
the and
subs
the dubs
and
at the
whoever
same time.
Does. Well, I always like to have the subtitles on.
Oh,
that just.
Okay.
Yeah,
it just helps.
And also, like, the voice never matches the scene. Like, no matter how good the voice actors are, it just never matches the rest of the scene or the rest of the tone.
Yeah. I hate dubs. Really bad.
Hey, do you? So there's, like, on YouTube, there's these channels who they'll do, like, you know, something en español, right? So they'll dub their own videos, or they'll hire somebody to dub the videos for them. I remember a couple years back, they were saying that in like Russian YouTube, you want to dub it because it's just that much more popular over there.
So you want to make a YouTube English YouTube video dubbed with Russian.
Yeah.
Because I've seen like Creosan will do a Russian YouTube video dubbed with English. And it's like it works, but it's also kind of a different viewing experience, right? It's almost like
Thomas Frank does it. I think he used to do it at least, but there was like he would be talking in English and you can kind of hear the English and the volume's really low, but then like there's somebody just speaking Russian and it's like, to me, it's like, I don't know. I find it kind of bizarre, but like if it reaches more people, then why not? Right.
Right.
Yeah.
I just think like if you sit down and you're given the choice to like watch, man, I can't believe you guys don't watch any anime. What about like Full Metal Alchemist? Like there's some classics that are just
I don't
like
that.
What? Did you watch
I
it?
Like Yeah, I don't like that type of anime. I like slice of life animes. I don't like the action
really?
Ones.
I like
yeah,
robot.
They drive me crazy.
I like the giant fighting robot anime.
Though that's my least favorite
what?
Kind of anime.
Oh
I'll
my
never
god!
Watch.
Friendship
Sandra,
ended with Kevin.
My girlfriend.
Anime
that's all she
is
watches.
My new best friend. Yes, Sandra is my new best friend.
I can't do it. She watches like you know Evangelion and all those other like.
It's like garbage, which is why I like it though. Okay,
it's
here's
good
my
for,
theory.
Like having it on in the background, maybe.
That I like subtitles on Japanese anime because the anime is so like because anime is so stupid, the subtitles help suspend disbelief, and it also keeps you from constantly staring at the image on the screen. So it almost makes the show feel more dynamic and more moving, because bad animation can be hidden by subtitles because you have to pay attention to the subtitles. Huh. Does that make any sense? Like, imagine in English, it's like, "We must get to the quantum reactor core before it explodes, and then my grandmother is going to die as she's obliterated into 1,000 pieces." You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It sounds stupid. But if it's subtitled, it talks about the quantum core. It's almost like a different universe. And so you don't have, like, the suspension of disbelief is so much stronger.
Yeah, I think I actually agree with you there.
How many are there going to be at this point in the video?
Dude, I don't know. I feel like I generally, I think subtitles are people's preferred viewing experience. I think that's like the...
I think so too.
The French film, like, subtitles are the way to go because the English dubs a lot of times can do... Remember people complaining about Squid Game subtitles? Or I think you guys were talking about it. Were you talking about the grandpa or something?
Oh, it's terrible. No, I mine put on this is I think subs are objectively better, and the only reason you'd watch a dub is because you're willing to put up with it being worse because you don't want to have to, for example, like
read.
Well, not necessarily, like, for example, maybe
I can't read good.
if let's say I had to edit. Yeah, let's say theoretically I had to edit.
No.
Or work on the computer. Fine, just work on the computer.
How could you possibly edit and watch a TV show at the same time?
Well, I definitely can't read subtitles at the same time.
Okay, am I crazy?
I've tried. It doesn't work.
Is anyone else on the same page as Nigel where you can watch a show and work on something at the same time, like editing?
That's why it takes them 4 months to get a video out.
Yeah.
But in the background. Yeah, in the background. You can't pay attention to it.
I can't watch while I'm like doing... like actual like work.
That's a myth. There's no such thing as multitasking. You can only split your attention.
That's why I have a big screen so I can have videos playing while I
there's
like
no
you edit
way you
picture
remember
in picture
anything.
On watching anime.
I don't watch anime because I refuse to listen to the dubs, and it's impossible to multitask and read the subs.
The dubs aren't bad. You guys, well,
it depends on which one. Because sometimes they're good, but it's like it does depend. I agree with you on the live action. It's just dubs are unacceptable almost always.
Okay, how about this? Do any one of you speak another language?
Define speak. Define another language.
So, Nigel, this.
Probably.
Hmm?
So Nigel will say he doesn't, but I'll say he does. Right? I'd say Nigel speaks two languages.
Yeah,
three.
You speak
Japanese too, don't you?
I speak 2.3 languages. No, 2.1 languages.
What's your Japanese grade level? Like, are you first grade, second grade? Where's your sort of communication skill?
If I were to actually, the best way to compare it is like, let's say an actual first grader, right? I would say that I'm the equivalent of a 2-year-old in Japanese, barely able to formulate a sentence.
Could you ask for like chicken with noodles or chicken with rice? Because like when
I don't know what noodles
Japan,
or rice. I know what rice.
How do you say
is,
chicken? Could you say like?
I don't know.
Like we went
is.
To Japan, and we had just landed. We had just checked in our hotel. We were super hungry and cranky, and we went to get food. And that was like my first sort of culture shock experience, where I realized like I literally have no way of communicating with people effectively. Mm. And we went to this noodle place. It was like, I think they have the chain here, like Yasaboya or whatever. It's like the orange logo.
Oh, yeah,
I think
it was
the same chain. And we were looking at the menu, and I was like, I'm like looking for chicken. But of course, literally, none of the words are in English because
I can't read
Japan.
I used to be able
to. Well, I mean, if you can barely speak it, you can imagine you could read it.
Well, the reading is easy. You can just phonetically know what it is. You just don't know what it means.
It's useless. So I was like looking for chicken. And because Chelsea was very cranky, so I had to solve the problem.
What is chicken in Japanese?
And I couldn't find chicken. I was like using the translator app, but like when they use fancy fonts, it like doesn't work. And so I just straight up asked them. I was like chicken, and they're like, I think they just said no chicken. And I'm like, that was like the level of communication. I prayed
I
that
up.
They understood the word chicken in English.
It's apparently literally basically chicken.
What?
Is it like
according
phonetic,
to Google
like,
Translate, phonetic? It's just the chicken. If you say
I
chicken, they'll
Japanese?
Understand you. What?
I'm a god.
I think it's just chicken, or chicken? I don't know how to pronounce it. That's literally it. So if you say
like
it, they get. According to Google Translate.
Wait, really? Because I mean, it should like. Isn't there like a derivation on like the Chinese
word? The meat
word?
Might be different than the animal. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like how
they
there
had
might
chickens
be
chickens like 1500 years ago. So
well, it might be like how you don't go to the store or you don't go to a restaurant. Do you guys serve cow here? Like, you're going to say beef. Like, there might be a differentiation. So when you ask for chicken, they're like, you want a live chicken?
In Spanish,
I don't actually know.
In Spanish, there's, like, a word for like, live fish and, like dead fish, like, cooked fish. Like, the food fish is different than the animal fish, I think.
Yeah, I think here, it doesn't have the English equivalent, but it seems like there is a differentiation between, like, chicken as a meat versus chicken as the animal. But they would know what you mean, right? Like, you go to a restaurant, you ask for chicken. They'll just be like, hey, this guy obviously, he's asking, we can figure out what he wants.
Wait, so, hey, is this true? Because, like, I was on a kick of, like, watching YouTube, like, travel vlog YouTubers. Like, some of these people, like, they'll go into, like, the ghetto in, like, South America and just, like, they'll just hang out with the locals. And, like obviously, if they posted the video, you're only going to see, like, the parts where they made it. But there was one thing about, like, they were visiting in Japan, and, like, it was clear that they weren't Japanese, and they got kicked out of the restaurant. They're like, you know, like, outsiders are not allowed, like, non-Japanese are not allowed. Like, is that for real?
We had an experience like that.
I don't know.
Jeez.
I'm just speculating, but it was kind of, like, the way it happened makes me think that it was. Yeah, you know, we should make this whole episode about anime in Japan and entitle it that, and if it does better, then... then we never talk about science again. We were in Japan, and somebody had told us, it was a person that we had met who had a pet otter. So I had like, because Chelsea really likes otters, and so I went online and tried to find, like, somehow use my YouTube clout to find somebody who had an otter. And I was able to do it. And
in Japan?
In Japan, in Tokyo.
Wow.
And so we went and met with them. It was like, you know, maybe 20 or 30 minutes on the train. Which was like, it's this whole ordeal too of like just not knowing Japanese, of like the train line ended at one point, even though the track continued, because they, instead of doing one straight shot, they sometimes do like a staggered where it's like you have to get off and get on the next one to keep going. Wow. So we finally get there and we hang out, do the otter stuff, which is, you know, it's adorable. It's a little goblin thing, but I don't think I'd ever want one as a pet because it's like, you know, it's closer to a wild animal than a dog or a cat. Then they had a bunch of suggestions for us. So we kind of made these Japanese friends, which was like amazing. Like, there's nothing better than having like an acquaintance who's familiar with the area. And they gave us a recommendation for this place near, what's the street? Shibuya. I think Shibuya. They're like the Hello Kitty land, basically.
And so I don't know. I could be totally wrong.
Shibuya.
I think it is Shibuya.
I mean, Shibuya is like their like Times Square.
Yeah,
yeah, it's Shibuya. Yeah, I think. And there was a they had told us to go to this place there, and so we get the address. We're searching for it, can't find it. Finally, like, go through this weird back alleyway. It's like this. It's bizarre. It almost looked like the back entrance of like some, you know, like workshop or something. And we knock and we basically, you know, say we want to eat there, and they said, like, either you need a reservation or no. Like, it was it to me, it felt like that they just didn't want to deal with us.
Just give you an excuse of why you can't eat there, right?
That was my immediate, like, it was just sort of like a go away kind of a thing.
So they might just not have wanted to deal with tourists in general, you know?
Yeah, but like, you know,
I never had an experience like that.
Like, well, it's because you are less white looking than me.
I guess
you look
everyone,
Japanese.
But everyone assumed I didn't speak it. I think there was one person once who spoke to me in Japanese and then immediately realized their mistake.
Okay, I've talked to other people who have like lived in Japan who say that it is a thing. Like, being a foreigner, like, the way people ask you questions is like, how long are you here for? Not where do you live? Where there's like always this sort of implication of like your time here is temporary.
I wonder if that's built into the language, because it's like in Chinese, like, people who are not from there, like, the actual word is like outside country person. So it's just like, it's like built into the language.
I feel like she had been there for quite some time, and I think she speaks Japanese very fluently, and I think that there just is this kind of subtle, like outsiders are not as
Like, but is there might also be a thing that a lot of people just don't stay that long in Japan because they have a lot of the people who are there working and they don't speak the language.
It's not my anecdote. It's like sort of like a combined anecdote from.
Oh no, I know. I'm just saying. I feel like a lot of people that I know who've gone to Japan only stayed a couple of years.
They couldn't take it after that.
The only people that I know who went to Japan and stayed are a couple relatives who are Japanese, and it's like they already knew how to speak it, so they just went in their 20s and just never left.
Mm.
But it's like, it seems like
where?
Where
did they go?
They're both in Tokyo. It's just like they didn't go there to visit. They literally in their 20s were like, we just want to live in Japan, and they just never came back. So they weren't really going there for work. They just decided that's where they live forever. But I feel like most people, at least my age who I've met, it's to teach English or it's some other thing that they think it's cool to go to Japan, and then they end up, after a few years, just coming back or going somewhere else.
It's a very cool city. Kevin, I don't think you... Have you been to Japan? No?
No, never been.
We should go when we can. It's like... I don't know. I think the way I've described it to people is it's almost like it has like this kind of Disneyland mystique to it, except it's like an actual city. Like imagine a city that has like...
Like the whole country or just like Tokyo?
Tokyo specifically is where we stayed, but it was like almost kind of magical. Like it felt
like the vending machines. That's what adds to the Disney.
It was
the
like
Disney
it was
feel.
Almost
it was bad
perfect.
Though.
Why?
I bought a tea at every single vending machine.
I wanted to do a video of like getting every drink from the vending machines, like 100 vending machine drinks in 5 minutes, and it's just a video of like you buy it, sip like a 3 second review, and then the next one.
No, it was bad because like I was like, I want to try all the drinks, and one day, we stopped at one. And I'm like, no way, they have coffee, Coke,
corn. So they have corn flavored drink.
What?
Or is it just corn?
I don't remember, but
I think it's straight up corn.
Like the corn water or something?
Well,
like
they also have hot
corn
vending machines. So you can get like hot drinks out of it.
I got like a bean drink too, a canned bean drink.
Wait, I went and got Coke and coffee, and then I drank it and was like, oh, that's okay. Then I walked like maybe a block or two. Then I'm like, oh, they have this energy drink I've never seen. So I drank that too. And I just kept drinking them every single
one of my videos.
And
you
it
almost
like,
became a chubby emu video.
Well, no, I started like shaking. I'm like, oh god, I've had way too many. And then the biggest problem is you realize that because it's not, you don't think about it in real money. It's always
a man
just
became
like,
addicted to Japanese vending machines, and this is what happened.
But you just put your coins in, and it doesn't feel like real money. Then you realize that you spent all your money on vending machines.
I just spent like $30 on drinks today. What the hell?
I did. Because my brother kept getting mad at me.
You know those little vending machines like at the grocery store where you would like put quarters in and twist it and get. I would like raid my parents' like change drawers and like under the couch and everything. And then when I went to the grocery store, I would just sit there in the entrance for like 10 minutes, just like
that
two quarters,
is some
twist it.
ADHD shit. If I have ever heard it, that is
that was the
serious
original loot box.
Yeah,
you know, I would always try to eat up like the little little gangster ones, you know, sometimes you can get like, or like the ones that you could get like little handcuffs for your fingers or like little toy guns. I would always try to get those.
The documentary on that guy, the gangster toy vending machine guy.
No,
it was like
the
a
homies.
Bubble. There's a YouTube homies video. There's a really interesting YouTube video. And it's like, it's kind of sad because it's like this guy clearly had like an empire at one point, and then he sort of just like never let it go after it died.
Oh,
and he
really?
Like still does it today, yeah.
Hey, I got a question. So speaking of anime, what about
back on topic.
What about streamers watching it on stream?
Oh, that's great. That's brilliant, dude. I would do it too.
I don't think that was a big deal.
I mean, I think it's bad, but
how is it bad though? Like Avatar? Like what are you gonna do? It's like it's on TV, right? It's everywhere.
It's interesting
at this
how
point
it's such a can of worms, and it's like when they say TV meta or something, like are they like streamers are like they're pressured to stream for like 8 hours a day or something, right?
I've done it. It's hard, dude. It's like I have this problem
I couldn't do it.
with
like I feel sick like yeah. when I get up from the computer, like the lights are shining on your face for 8 hours. Like
I don't know when to stop.
If they were
I'll
smart
just
if Nickelodeon or whoever owns the copyright was smart, what they would do is like let anybody watch the episodes and they would just put ads in the episodes.
Yeah,
it's like problem solved.
Yeah, what they should do is basically create like a I think a watch along system where if you have a Netflix account and there's Avatar on it, you can watch shows on Netflix in real time with the streamer, or have the streamer sort of like a part of the advertising income will go, or all the advertising income will go to Netflix, and then they'll just make money off of tips and text-to-speech and donos and stuff like that. But
when
instead
the ads
I feel
play
like
in the episode
oh,
or
yeah.
something?
There's what did Gabe Newell, what is that his name? What's the Steam guy? Gabe?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Newell piracy. I'm going to read this quote because I really like it. The easiest way to stop piracy is not by putting anti-piracy technology to work. It's by giving those people a service that's better than what they're receiving from the pirates. Which
that's
I
true.
Have... I have sailed the high seas for probably half my life. You know, I mean, everybody
really?
Has. When you're a kid,
oh, yeah.
What are you gonna do? You're gonna go?
Dude, I would pirate everything.
Like, yeah, I can't pay $20 a month for the Adobe suite. Like, I'm in high school. I don't make any money.
Yeah, everybody's downloaded Adobe Photoshop CS6 yeah. at one point in their
yes.
life.
Dude, I started at CS1.
So I yeah. downloaded something one time, and it was a virus to the point where it nuked my computer. It wouldn't turn on. It wouldn't boot. I tried reinstalling Windows, and it wouldn't install. I don't know what the thing did.
That's a good one. Mm.
And ever
you
since
sure?
then,
that
I'm
sounds
like,
bad.
All right,
that sounds really
I'm never downloading anything ever again.
And to this day, I only use paper and pencil.
There you go.
So you've only done one illegal download in your life, and you've already paid the price.
No, well, here's the thing. I didn't even actually get to use it because it was viral. And I was like, it wasn't even an actual legal download at that point. It was something to screw me up.
But here's the thing.
Up.
You had an intent to download it illegally. That is enough of a crime.
I think I was like 16 when that happened, right? And it was like, that was the only computer I had. And like that,
yeah.
that's it.
I have definitely destroyed my fair share of computers.
Yeah. Oh, man. LimeWire.
Whew.
I was
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, you remember those days? Morpheus?
No, so I remember only LimeWire. I think Kazaa, that was like...
Bernard's
going to
have
like
you know, you're
going to
have a couple years on
at
us.
The same time.
That sort of tech
oh God,
was changing.
Yeah.
The peer-to-peer stuff was like really rapid.
Yeah.
It was like Napster at first in like 99, right? Like that was when Metallica was like going after
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it was... I think that was... Was it 99? I think... Okay, how old was... I remember playing Neopets. In elementary school, which was late 90s. So that means that all that stuff sort of started around the 2000s. So like late 90s, early 2000s, I think is when like the major P2P stuff, the peer-to-peer file sharing kind of occurred. Because I was in like...
It was definitely before I was 13. So
yeah,
it was before, it was like right at the end of elementary school into like middle school.
Yeah. And so that would have been Napster around that time too, maybe a little earlier. So 1999 or 2000 seems right on the money.
Remember, you could use LimeWire to download LimeWire Pro.
What were you trying to download that killed your computer?
I don't even remember. It was, I think it was like this video editing thing I wanted to do because like I had like this big webcam and like we were just, it was for like a project or something, like a school project. We were trying to do like stop and go animation with like Legos, and so like we were taking pictures with this webcam, and it like we couldn't actually edit the video, and so like I tried downloading this thing on dial-up, and it nuked my computer, and like I ended up buying it like a different computer in 99. And
was
I made a video about that computer because I still have it.
Was it actually, really? Did it nuke your computer? Was your computer just such a piece of shit it couldn't run the software?
No, it was a virus. Like, it was malware. Because I remember it, like, it played this crazy sound. Like, when I opened, like, it was an EXE. And it,
oh,
like, the
no.
sound, like, I just, I, it was like this really creepy voice. And then like all of a sudden it blue screens and you see like this like stuff like scrolling on there. And then that was it. And then I couldn't turn on my computer. I tried booting into like Windows 98 and it wouldn't do it. I tried reinstalling with like the HP recovery disk and it wouldn't install.
Yeah, you probably have to restall like a completely fresh
copy. I feel like I'm hearing
Windows.
Someone recount a horribly traumatizing event.
Like, it's funny right now, but like when those sorts of things happened, it was the end of the world.
Yo, I was so scared when I heard that voice play on my speakers and I'm like, what is that? And then like you just see the stuff scrolling and I was like, because I was 15 at the time and I'm just like, what? Yeah. And like that was it. It was over. Like I didn't have a computer for like 4 months afterwards.
Yep.
Oh no. That's... My dad was a computer programmer. So like I was breaking my computer all the time.
He would fix
it. I'm like, Dad, got another one.
So Kevin, what are you searching? Why are there a bunch of porn pop-ups and you haven't even opened the browser?
I'm looking for StarCraft wall hacks, Dad.
Hey, that was you.
Or map hacks.
that was you?
Oh yeah, it was like the Fog of War cheat button multiplayer.
Mm. Oh, you're a degenerate.
I was really bad. I would try to cheat in every game. I have a VAC ban on my Steam account from 6,000 days ago, I think.
Wait, 20 years ago?
Was that 20 years? It must not be that long.
Yeah, it
would have
been like 15, 10. 20 years?
Wait, I mean, that's like the beginning of Steam, like in 2004, right?
Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm. That would have been like middle school for you, like end of middle school or beginning of high school.
Yeah, because I remember playing Counter-Strike Source. Yeah, 6,007 days. Since my last ban, and they won't let me appeal it. I still can't play Counter-Strike Source or Go or whatever it was. No, it must have been Source.
I remember I did something, and I pissed my dad off, and he, like, threw my computer in the trash.
Oh, my mom. Yeah.
He just literally stuck the whole tower
in
the trash can.
I had, like, the brick Game Boy, and we had something called, like, a reading accelerator. And, like, I was, like, a freshman in high school, so this reading accelerator... it was like a book that you would get from the library, and then you would take like a 20-question test, and it would be like extra credit.
Accelerated reader.
Wait, I remember doing that. Yeah. Right. I did that too.
So I took a test of a book that I didn't read just for the hell of it. I got a 5%. I got one question right out of 20. I put it in my backpack. My mom went through my backpack and found out that I got a 5% on what she thought was a real test. So she got pissed, took my Game Boy, smashed it in front of me and said, "You don't go failing school on my watch." And I was like, "You just smashed my Game Boy." And like, I was 14. I was traumatized. I was like, "Wait, what?" Right? And Pokemon had just came out. She smashed the Game Boy with Pokemon Blue in the thing.
Pokemon Blue.
I had like 100 hours on there. I was like leveled like 99 or 100 on like the starters or whatever. And
who's
I'm
your
looking
starter?
And like that was like the end of my life when I was 14, man.
So much trauma, Bernard, is just surfacing.
I know this is like childhood.
That happened
at
14, and then 1 year later,
what happened to her?
You lost your Game Boy 14, and then
Bernard's
you lost your computer
mom
at 15.
Uses Dragon Rage. Dragon Rage is super effective.
It kind of
Game Boy dies.
I guess like the biggest trauma there was.
So what were you doing on accelerated reader? Were you trying to bang out tests as fast as you can? Just like you didn't even read the book. You're just like clicking through trying to get points.
No, it was a joke. And like I remember there was another kid he laughed at me because he was standing behind me the whole time as I was taking this test. Because it was like during lunchtime, and I'm like, what am I going to do with the time? So like just take some random test about a book I never read. And like he like laughed in my face and it printed out and he like threw it at me and I'm like, all right, whatever. So like I just like tossed it in my backpack. I didn't realize my mom would go through my backpack and think that would be like a real test. And she's like, "You got a 5%? This is why your reading is so bad." And then just like smashes my Game Boy right in front of me.
Will, did you have an accelerated reader?
I did. Yeah, I remember I did the test on if you give a mouse a cookie. Because I don't remember why I did it. I was just trying to like get points, and I think that you could.
What did the points do
remember
for you?
I did it, and I passed. You had to have so many points usually you, for you, like one of your classes, like your English class, you had to have so many accelerated reader points by the end of, you know, whatever, the quarter or the year.
And you could get like other prizes too. So you get like, you know, if you hit say 200 points, you would get, you know, maybe $5 to spend at the school store. You get like 500 points. You get like a pizza party with the principal. Oh no, my school turned it into a whole game. I was on there like all the time, you know, Harry Potter books, knocking them out. I think I had like 600 points.
Oh my God.
I got an ice cream and pizza party with the principal, with everyone else for that.
Why
like,
would you want that?
I was like, I don't know, I'm 10. To stay I away from pizza. The principal.
It's kind of funny how as a kid, you can make an incentive like pizza, and the kid will put in hours of work, like an insane amount of work, dozens of hours for like $20 or $10 worth of reward.
I used to be so food motivated. Now I'm much less food motivated.
Because you can just buy it.
I can buy my own food.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you just go get my own. I don't need you to get me to do 3 hours of work. I mean, if it's something fun, like if you help somebody do something, like we filmed this video with Alan, we went to Florida and did this whole thing. And that was basically like, I was just making him buy us food. That was sort of it. Like, that's all you're paying me. You're just buying my food.
I feel like that's definitely different.
Yeah, it's still kind of the same thing though. Like, you know, it's like, just give me food, but I'm not working for the food.
Yeah, exactly.
The food is just sweetening the deal. We need to get back on track, on anime. How did we derail this badly?
We're talking about downloading stuff.
The rest of this episode has to be dubbed in Japanese.
Why don't you guys watch anime? What's wrong with Fullmetal Alchemist?
I don't have any mechanism to watch anime. Like, I don't even have a TV. Unless maybe like
you can watch it on the computer.
Yeah.
You get, you know, they have so many anime streaming sites. You could watch anything you ever wanted online for free somewhere.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
I wouldn't do it for free though. I mean, come on, you gotta.
There's some
streaming services for it.
Yeah, like Crunchyroll, right?
Yeah,
or whatever the thing. Okay.
Not even. There's still stuff that isn't on there.
Yeah, there's some weird websites that I don't know how they work, but they just stream it for free. Like I think two shows I watched recently where I literally could not find any way of watching it other than buying a DVD that wasn't in stock on Amazon. So you had to buy from third parties for like $120. And it's like, that's the Gabe Newell thing, right? Like, if you can't pay for it, I'm going to steal it. And so I basically have 99% of the time pay for stuff, and if there's just something weird that I find that I want to watch that I can't find anywhere, I'm not gonna buy a DVD. Like, I don't even have a DVD player,
right?
But you should. I mean, why not? Is it just that you can't? What about you, Nigel?
What do I watch anime?
What's wrong with anime?
Nothing.
Yeah,
I used to watch it.
Why don't you watch it now? What do you watch
now? I don't watch a lot of stuff right now. That's kind of
what do you watch now, and why is it anime?
I don't watch very much. I watch way too much YouTube content that I don't care about.
Yeah?
What?
I'm the opposite.
I watch almost exclusively William Osman and Chubby Emu and Backyard Scientist videos.
Podcast reruns.
And Safety Third Podcast. I rewatch it.
Okay, Kevin. I feel like this is like, we need to have an argument right now. Why do you not like robot anime?
It's because it's the same thing with you and like being able to like know what's actually going on in the show when they start talking about like, you know, galactic warp drive rocket booster.
Are you talking about you're listening?
I
you're watching
out.
Dubs.
No, I mean even in the subtitles because I watch subtitles too.
It's not subs and dubs. It's Japanese with subs.
Yeah, I'll do that. And I mean, I'm not really firm in this position, but I mean I like to watch
stand
with
your ground.
Subs.
Let's talk
yeah, Kevin.
Now.
Okay.
Backtrack.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. It's
I think California
is
a stand your ground.
It's the
state.
Whole. It's not the dialogue. It's the whole concept of the show. I just I can't do it. You know, other ones that are kind of more like more fantasy, I can do. But like,
how is
I don't
a giant
know, the
robot
robots try too hard not... to be like scientific, and then it just sounds stupid.
But that's why the I feel like subtitles help that a little bit.
No, it doesn't. It's
what?
Just as bad. Like. Yes, I like the old ones. Here's the thing, I like the old Star Wars because I felt like it was more like detached, and it was like it felt like you were, I don't know, like I wasn't expecting them to be good, but the new ones are kind of
bad.
They
have Jar Jar. That's the best part.
Hey, those were my jam, but yeah, all the giant robot ones I don't like. Evangeline, I hate it.
Okay, what do you watch? What's an example?
I don't know. Nothing. I, okay.
Oh my God. Are you watching weird stuff and you don't want to share it?
No, it's not weird stuff. Like, recently I've been watching Nichijou. I don't even know if that's how you spell it.
Kevin watches some obscure crap. I've never even heard of that. How do you spell it? Nichi.
N-I-C-H-I-J-O-U. Oh, it just popped up.
Okay, wait, what is this anime? About?
Yeah.
What is
it's about,
this
like, three
about?
High school girls.
Kevin!
It's good, trust me. If you guys haven't seen it, it's worth watching.
Follows the everyday lives of various people in the town of Dame.
It sounds stupid. It's like
centering
an
around
comedy.
The energetic Yuko Aoi, the bright and cheerful. I'm not even gonna say their names. Where's the ensemble characters? Is there even a plot? It talks about the mundane character, the situations the characters go through. The plot, literally, there's nothing. Wikipedia has
no.
Nothing
that's why
for
it's called
plot.
Slice of life. It's
the
like
anime series,
you know.
Receives the most prominent story arc of this person. Nano receives the most prominent
Nano,
story
the
arc.
Robot. Or the android.
Involves her desire to
is.
Become a high school student, while the second half deals with the fear of being exposed as a robot. I cannot believe the
Can
the
we
plot.
Can we play a clip,
plot?
Or are we going to get canceled?
No, we
bit?
Can't. Nope. We got to play it on
Wait,
Twitch if
we
we're going to do it.
We
can't
we
do
would
it
get
on
copyrighted,
YouTube.
Right?
Yeah, not unless we're on Twitch.
Oh, you're right.
This the plot is literally two sentences.
It's like day-to-day life for this like these friends, but it's everything super dramatized.
This is like you watch a movie and it comes to a closure and then it like keeps going. And it's like now these people just do ordinary things.
No, it's things like, for example, like you go to order a coffee, right? And it's like you kind of like you're like, "Oh man, I don't know what to order." And it's kind of like you have a little, you know, panic on the inside, but in the show they like amplify that to like extreme levels, like a Dragon Ball Z fight.
Oh my God, that would give me anxiety watching that.
Does it last like three episodes and like they're just doing this for
no, that'd be pretty funny.
Three episodes.
I watched the exact opposite there. I feel like there's something we should talk about though. I've actually really always wanted to talk about this.
Oh no,
I don't know if you've experienced this, but it's the state of anime titties.
Okay. Me and Bernard
Kill
are
Kill
like...
That Kill the Kill was a good show.
I have watched a couple of shows where I almost feel like I don't know what's happening and I don't know how, like, who made the decision to like animate these characters like this. And I guess it's called like fan service, where you're just essentially making like.
Have you seen Kill the Kill, Will?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's like the prime example of what you're talking
about.
And
you look at people fighting each other. Like, I'm talking like it just how do I describe this, like, just horrific character design.
Yeah,
where you're like, you're watching this and it's like someone made a conscious decision to just center this character around boobs.
You can't, so going back to Japan, you can't psychologically profile. Japan is just unique in every way, and you can't ever
unique.
Figure
that
out.
That is such a bad word to use, because unique. it is the nicest thing you could say about how weird it is.
They do. Mm-hmm. You can't explain some of the things they do. You know, you either appreciate their art or you move on.
There's a show on Netflix I watched.
It's all over sexualized. All of it.
It's even for sure is. Yeah,
Nichijou is. They do things that I'm like, come
and then
on. This
they
is
do
like...
this thing where, like, the protagonists are, like, teenagers, and then they just have huge anime tits that they're, like... It's just... It's, like... You're, like, I can't watch. Like, this is just, I'm sorry. This is, like, just, like... What do they call it? There's a thing...
I feel
word.
Like I'm being pandered to.
Yes. Not you specifically.
Kevin's being pandered to.
There's a word for the other thing too, that like it's like more controversial, where they have like, I am a 2,000-year-old wizard from outer space, and they just look like a little kid, but then they like, you know, have adult relationships, and it's just, you're sitting there being like, this is like very convenient.
Yes. I never really see that in the wild because I don't watch those shows. Those are always like the fantasy action shows.
One of the Netflix shows that I watched that I kind of like, I liked it, but it just had a little bit too much of that was I think Seven Deadly Sins it's called.
Yeah, Sandra watched that. I couldn't
and it's
stand
like
that show.
It's just like Oh, there's a really bad one too that I just watched. I think I can't remember if it was Crunchyroll or Netflix, but it was like Frank something, Darling in the Franks or something. And I literally don't want to describe it, but when you watch it, you're just sitting there thinking, who greenlit this?
I mean, you could probably look it up and find out exactly who greenlit it. Send them an email, ask them.
I mean, man, I feel like you guys should go. I should give you a list of
I have not
to watch, and then you watch a couple episodes and then come
the
back.
Last like, anime the that I followed or that I watched.
I
want to
hear
Mark.
Nigel describe Darling in the Franks.
The last anime I watched was Naruto when I was like 14.
I tried watching it. Chelsea.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
It's just kind of it like starts off kind
of. Yeah, Naruto and One Piece.
I never watched One Piece. I literally saw Naruto. All I have is Naruto, Dragon Ball Z, and then if you count like Digimon.
You're so uncultured. Uncultured swine, Nigel. Bernard,
so
you too.
So this is my argument.
You guys are embarrassing.
What percentage of Japanese people watch anime?
Oh, 110%.
Probably a lot.
All of them.
If it's anything.
At least everybody our age.
I'm going to look it
up. Dude, half of the shows we watch are like literally, they're made for a Japanese audience.
Yeah.
Why would they be?
My Hero.
Well,
My Hero
it literally
Academia.
Can't be 100%.
No,
so
it
says
can
that
be. I think
a survey in 2019 said 33% of people in Japan stated they often read manga or watch anime.
That means it's like 60%.
Either way, it's literally impossible to be 100. So my argument is that
it's 100% of people that are
to be
30 years
truly
older,
Japanese.
Younger.
There's a lot of Japanese people who don't own they have no connection with technology. They don't have any moving picture device to watch it on.
You know, I would say for me, it goes even beyond anime. Like, I haven't watched any of, like, the streaming shows either. Like, the only one I've watched is on Apple TV, The Morning Show. I think I watched, like, the first season of that just because, like, I had just gotten, like, a laptop in 2019. And I'm like, oh, I can watch this on the laptop. And then I, like, watched a couple episodes. And I was like, okay, cool.
Oh, my God. You do crossword puzzles?
No.
What do you do, Bernard?
I'm trying to profile someone.
I think you know what kind of kills me. I was at a wedding.
What's the name of the retirement home you live in?
On Saturday, right? You know, and and somebody asked me. They're like, "What do you do for fun?" And I'm like, "I make YouTube videos."
You can't say that.
But here's the thing: I can say that because I don't do it full time, right?
But
I mean, it's like it literally is my fun time.
Bernard, what do you do for pain and suffering?
Make YouTube videos. But wait, Bernard, if you spent more time making YouTube videos, then that would eventually stop being as fun. Would you be going to your day job for fun?
That's a good question. I don't know.
You
I mean,
would
it's
just
like,
have no fun anymore.
Because like YouTube affords me the chance to fly out to like other people to like, you know, film them as like an actor or something. Like I'm going to LA later this year if you guys open back up. And
yes.
William
the
could
pickle,
be in one
the,
of my videos.
Can we do the
How
trash can
that?
Egg video?
Yeah.
Wait, what do you mean if they open back up?
Well, I mean, the production's like if I need a stage, like it's harder to get a stage right now in Los Angeles, right?
No, I just didn't.
I think you can get on the
Can we do the chicken nugget video?
Yeah, yes. Chicken nugget video.
We're going to need the medical case first, so I'll get it right on top of eating that chicken nugget.
Yeah.
There's plenty of other cases we can get with Alan and William.
Just find something that has to do with eggs, yeah. Or like, yeah. Pick, like,
Will sure. recommend us an anime. You haven't said what you like to watch.
I think if I had to recommend something to someone, I really like One Punch Man. I really like Full Metal Alchemist. I think it's the same guy who made One Punch Man. It's Mob Psycho is really good. They're sort of like. They're
oh,
kind
I think
of
I saw Mob Psycho. I think
it's
I
kind of
that
a,
one.
A parody of anime in general, but it also is. It like does the tropes, but it also is a parody. But it's also like it's well done. It's like very well thought out. It's like a good. It feels not.
Oh no.
Like real.
I try. This is the guy that's like the psychic, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You didn't like it? I tried. I couldn't do it. Nah. It was interesting, but it was too. You're right. What it was. It was too over stylized.
Yeah, but it's also like the art is fantastic.
Yeah,
and is. I just sort of generally like the idea of like a very self-aware, like it kind of makes fun of tropes, but it still also participates
yeah.
in them. I think Full Metal Alchemist is just like,
it's a classic.
It's like a book, kind of like it's a very like solid, I think, story. It's like one of the most, I don't know.
It used to be on Adult Swim, you know, like, and I would watch it, and I'm going to be honest with you, I could never figure out what the actual story.
Yeah, you got to watch it not on TV. TV does not, it doesn't do justice. Like Cowboy Bebop, I just watched for the first time in its entirety. That is a perfect TV show because it is all over the place. Like, you don't need to know what happened the previous episode because it's just sort of like the art's really good. It's just kind of quirky and funny and weird, like a good way to pass time without having to like keep track of the arc. But like something like Full Metal Alchemist, like you have to know what happened before because it literally is like the whole series is like an entire.
Yeah, you can't just jump into it.
Right. And like it does halfway like they through. Do all sorts of crazy shit, dude. Like it's like dark and like a lot of kind of totally like just horrible ideas, but I think that it's one of the best. There's two versions too, and I think the newer one is like the better one. The Brotherhood one is like they redid it or something like that.
Okay.
And then
I
like
think you
yeah.
No, I was going to say I think Nigel and Bernard are missing out, you know,
what
if they're watching
movies. Like
well, oh, I got a lot of movies.
I had a question. What do you watch besides anime?
Me?
Mm-hmm. Any of you?
YouTube. anime review videos.
That's the thing. I watch so much YouTube. I don't like to watch YouTube. I watch YouTube, but like in my free time, you know, if I want to relax or something, I'll just put something on.
So when you watch YouTube, you're not relaxing?
I mean, I can't just sit there and watch YouTube videos back to back like I can with TV because it's hard. You got to go searching for stuff. You got to like, you know, find stuff you're interested in every 10 minutes.
I'm just commenting because you said I don't want to watch YouTube if I'm like, it kind of made it sound like watching YouTube videos is just
well,
straight
it is.
Up work.
I mean, like, like I can't sit down on YouTube and just scroll through videos forever
know what you
like
mean.
That unless it's like mindless meme compilations.
Avatar The Last Airbender is another one. I think that show is like a solid 8 out of 10. It could be a 10 out of 10, but there's a lot of like that kind of TV filler that just sort of, I think, drags it out a little bit too much. Movies? Dude, do some movies. Movies are super easy. Akira.
Okay, Gonzo was a really good movie.
Gonzo?
It's like a sci-fi anime movie where you like die and you get transported into this video game and there's monsters and you got to like kill monsters to get points to buy upgrades for your character. And then you can like, if you get enough points, you can get back to life.
Hmm.
It's like a 3D anime and a lot of people don't like
it. I hate it. I hate that.
Dude, it's
oh
really
my
good.
God,
it's really
I hate
good.
3D anime so much. I hate 3D anything.
It's like
garbage.
There's this one studio that does all of it.
It's yes.
And
that's
people
a, not a
like
good
it or
sign.
They hate it.
It's a machine, dude. It's like it's a
but
neural
this
network.
But this is really good.
No. No. I refuse.
Kevin, it's
your
bad.
Your taste is trash.
It's terrible.
Welcome
just
to
try
the trash.
It.
Welcome to the Taste Trash podcast.
Poor Kevin.
Where we taste trash every podcast episode. Bad,
hey,
Kevin.
Speaking of podcasts, there's another one that's being like started up by YouTubers, Some Ordinary Podcast, Muda.
Uh-huh.
Right? Muda's got his podcast too. He's all like right. But I mean Muda uploads every day though. Like none of us upload every day.
I don't have that kind of brain power.
I can't do it. I that kind of video I couldn't do. Oh, so here's the thing. I don't have Netflix. I don't have
what is that? Is
I
that
don't have
Jenny?
Any. I must just be living in the dark ages. I don't have anything.
You,
like I was
what?
I was
Bernard.
What?
Why?
I don't know. I just don't have it.
What do you
So you don't
doing? What were you doing
you just
before?
Just watch YouTube videos.
What were you doing an hour ago before you started?
I just posted a video. So I was responding to some of the comments.
Okay.
Wait, sorry, I missed that. I was looking at Jimmy shaking his butt. What did you say, Bernard? What are you guys all shocked about?
Oh, I don't have Netflix. Like I don't. Here's the thing. Like, so I was at that wedding, and they asked me like they kept talking about all these shows, and they're like, oh yeah, these shows are so good or whatever, and I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. Like, I don't have Hulu, I don't have like I have Amazon Prime, but I don't like I use it to like get the shipping right. I don't. Yeah, like I don't. I, like even Apple TV, right? I didn't. I watched one show on it, and I'm like, oh cool, and like. That was it. I'm just living in the dark ages, I guess. I don't know.
I have a question,
Bernard. Functioning. What do you do besides your day job and YouTube?
and jerking Here's off.
That's it, man. Like, there are days where I don't leave the house, and like,
it's just, there's just no time. Netflix. There's no time in between that.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh my god! And you're trying to start new channels? He's like, I've already gotten rid of fun. Now I can get rid of sleep.
Exactly.
Oh, I get sleep. I mean, that's no problem. But it's just, yeah, I don't know. I guess you know, it's like between three channels and Snapchat and full-time work, and
you know, at some point you're gonna realize that you've done all this and you've made money and then you never spent the money on things, which is the whole point of making money, and then you die and you give it to your kids and then they go,
but like, I mean the point of doing it,
and then they inherit money, like, 500 you know. Injection molding machines.
Those bastards deserve nothing more from me. I haven't had kids yet, so I don't know that they're bastards. I'm just assuming that they are. Oh, yeah, bastards when the dad leaves, yelling. Right? Wait a second.
wait, William, you're
you have full
married,
control
right?
over that.
Oh, Chelsea said a bastard is when if you have a child out of wedlock.
Yeah.
So you have to get divorced.
God, is that really a big deal? Or maybe it just used to be a big deal.
Because like, if you think about it in context of like kings, right? Like if you have a kid out of wedlock, like who's the heir, right?
Right.
Right, and like that ripples down into society from,
yeah,
the big honcho.
I've done the math, and I'm pretty sure that might make me a bastard.
Yeah, isn't it something like October 10th is like the most common birthday because that's exactly 9 months from January 1st.
That sounds about right. They always see like bursts in population during like 9 months after like a huge storm to like a shut in.
Yeah.
A bunch of COVID babies.
Yeah,
maybe?
I wonder if we compare the birth rate to internet usage, or like if you compare like data speeds, like internet data speeds to population growth, if you would see like as internet increases, the population decreases because people have better things to do. Like,
oh,
browse
maybe.
Memes.
Maybe, but that's like correlation and causation. You could never figure that out for sure.
Like. I want to talk more about anime.
I mean there's got to be like,
I'm done with anime.
Watch it.
Have you guys watched Pokemon as a kid?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, have you watched Pokemon as an adult?
I haven't watched it recently.
Trash. Garbage.
Is it?
Absolute
Pokemon?
Garbage.
No.
Yeah.
I just went through and watched them. They're not bad.
Kevin really does have
I watched
trash.
Them.
It's bad. How do you say robot stuff's bad but Pokemon's good? It's
there's
garbage.
Some no.
Yes. The first episode of Pokemon is like the only good episode. The season one, episode one.
The season one?
There
season
is some there's some nuance here.
Dude, Ash right? gets absolutely like wrecked.
No, the new one's the original one is the only one that has soul. Every other Pokemon is bad.
The first episode of Pokemon is like the one where it's like every 10-year-old who goes outside needs a gun in the world of Pokemon.
Yeah, there's
to
like
defend
trainers
themselves.
That want to rob
if they
you.
Don't if they don't have their own Pokemon, they need a gun. Dude, he gets his like eyes pecked out.
Yeah, the Pidgeys, like a tree full of Pidgeys or something.
Yeah,
I remember that. And then Team Rocket.
No, sparrows.
Oh, sparrows. Yeah, they were the mean ones.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's the rest of them are bad though.
Yeah.
Well, hey, have you kept up with Pokemon since like Gen?
I've tried.
Gen
I've watched
1?
Some, and it's just like, just how many Pokemon can we introduce every episode so we can.
Well, not even the episode, but like the games. Like,
oh
right?
No, I haven't.
No,
I see.
The last
I see...
one I played was Gold.
Once there was more than 300 Pokemon, Pearl, I lost interest.
When was Gold?
Gold was 2000.
Yeah, it's the last one I played too.
Probably.
Yeah, I never played.
And
it.
Then,
it yellow.
Actually, no, I played one other after.
There's
that.
There's Gold and Silver, right?
Yeah, Gold and Silver, and then Platinum was like their yellow or their like,
yeah,
cross in between. I played Pearl for a little bit. I mean, God, I was already like 20-something when that thing came out, and I'm like, what am I doing playing Pokemon?
Hmm.
But it was fun, so why not? You know?
Yeah, I bought the Switch rebuild of, not even a rebuild, it's like the whatever, the special edition of the original game, I think. What did they call it? I don't remember what it was called. Where it is like the sort of
Pikachu,
just modern
yellow?
Version. No, I mean, was it yellow? I don't really remember what it was, but it was essentially the old map. The very first map.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
But they kind of just... It was like half baked. Like it kind of sucked. Like it was, everything was the same, but they changed like, you know, like the Safari Zone.
Yeah.
They changed it to like something that connects with the Pokemon slot machines. Go. Yeah, I think they got rid of the slot machines too, I think. Sad. I remember I got like 2/3 of the way through and I was like, this is stupid. Like, sad.
I don't know if you remember in the original one, but like I think in the slot machines you could only get Porygon from the slot machines.
Yes, as a prize. Yeah.
And I remember I got a Porygon and I like I grinded those slot machines and then a couple days later the hammer went right down on my game.
Oh
no.
Back to
I think
the
part
trauma.
Of the magic of the original Pokemon games was like it's cause you know, you could like trade with your friends and stuff like that. It was a lot
you could
more
gamble. You yeah, can you literally can actually gamble. Yeah. That is the best part of the original Pokemon
I mean,
game.
For
but,
sure.
But you had to like you had to have like, you know, friends. And like I remember
it was, like, oh, no, Bernard, no.
No, but okay. But you know what I mean. But so it was like you had friends that also like I had a blue cartridge and then friend had a red cartridge, right? And then like, you know, we could
you'd kick
trade
their,
and
kick
swap
their ass.
And you know, it was fun. I what is it? My favorite was Dugtrio in the beginning. Probably like not good anymore, but I thought Dugtrio was good. You dig, and then nobody can hit you, and then
boom. Oh yeah, and then you pop up like the next turn, and you knew
and
it was coming
your speed
too.
Is fast enough, you always go first, and then you know somebody you know lets out something silly.
Did you guys ever use like the
Pokemon
buffs?
Was a phenomenon. Like I don't think anything else is compared to it.
Yeah.
Then.
It's. I think it is the most financially successful franchise of all time.
It was we like in third grade. I remember how popular it was. Like kids were bringing their cards to school, getting in like fights,
I remember
like actual battles in real life over like people like you know stealing my Pokemon cards. Our teacher had a Pokemon prison. If you ever saw you with a Pokemon card, you had to put them in this like glass jar, and you couldn't get them back. And he had a collection, and like. I don't know.
Even like, what is it? The original Super Smash, right? Like, had Pikachu and Jigglypuff in it, right? And like, that was where
was always
a lot
Pikachu.
Of people,
yes.
Yeah. Everyone just had like, you know, it was like mega
Pokemon
exposure.
Coliseum, Pokemon Snap.
Yep. Stadium, right? And then
or Stadium.
Yep.
Man, look at people are like going ham on them. Oh, can we let's talk about the guns? Pokemon with guns. That video just got blipped from the internet. There was this
it
channel.
It got snapped.
This brand
it's
new
gone.
Channel. Who made
Wait,
this
what?
Video where you have a gun.
Yeah.
And it was built up.
Did we
up,
play that video?
No, not if that will get the podcast taken down. But the video is like, this is very infrequently do I see a YouTube channel where their video is like really, it's like very close, but not quite. And I think this is the guy's first video, at least on this channel, but it did feel like a very, very like new YouTuber. And it's very good. And Nintendo blipped it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just starting to get traction. It had been posted like mid-December, and it was just starting, like we saw it at like maybe a couple tens of thousands of views. And then it got up to like 60,000 to 70,000 views, and then all of a sudden it disappeared. But
it had 2 million views on Twitter.
Oh my god, they blipped it there too.
Yep. Let me check. I'll check when you get when you're talking about it.
Dude, Nintendo is so old school and like crusty.
They are. They really like. It's pretty bad how like. You know, they go after everybody with copyright strikes for anything that resembles anything Nintendo. And it's like they're just sitting on all this old, you know, I guess people say this old IP for all these games. Yeah. And I feel like there's nothing new in anything Nintendo does. It's all kind of like, it's just stupid. You know, I got the newest Mario Party. And you gotta, you know how long like a 10-turn game of Mario Party takes?
Yeah.
Over an hour,
yeah,
hour and
crazy.
A half. Because it's like, you have to everything, all the little,
and you feel
like
nothing
every
happens
sentence
the whole time
has
too.
To read out. You can't skip anything. Then you have to wait for the computers to go.
Yeah.
It's like it's brain dead.
Yeah,
it's really dumb. And same with
map,
Breath of the Wild. It's too slow.
No updates or anything.
Yeah, and that's for all like the Mario stuff.
We were talking about the Twitch streaming TV shows earlier, and I think I like this is sort of a thought I had because I did think quite a bit about it because it is like a complicated issue where I think that, you know, streaming copywritten content is not a good idea, and it also is kind of like messed up. Like they do it with YouTube all the time, so Twitch streamers will watch YouTube videos. And dude, if you've got 100,000 people watching your Twitch stream concurrently, and you go watch a YouTube video that has 10K views on it, like think about that though. You're a small YouTuber, and now all of a sudden, like this 100,000 views only adds one view to your video.
No, but like they'll bring like their audience.
I know. I'm just saying that generally speaking, like the idea of it is like not great. But if you look at it from like a more practical standpoint, there is benefit, but it might be difficult to look past the idea that someone is just like blatantly stealing your content for the, you know, the benefit of, oh, well, this might actually point a bunch of viewers in my direction that I wouldn't have had otherwise.
Yeah, but so say with the Pokemon and the Pokimane and the Avatar thing.
Right.
Like, what are they losing from that? They're not losing anything at all.
Well, they're losing maybe potential viewers in the future. So it's like, I've already seen it. Like, I think there is benefit in the way of, like, if you watch part of a show, then maybe that'll drive you to go actually watch the show on the platform, which, like, increases, like, you know.
You are watching part of the show. You're watching an episode of it.
Yeah, but you might go finish the rest of the show on the platform, on like, Netflix or wherever, whoever has licensed it.
I mean, you might want to see what happens in the next episode, though.
Yeah, but here's a question. So, like, BattleBots has this problem where people will air the fights. Like, they'll cut the fights out of the show because, like, the show is, like, 40 minutes, but there's only, like, 10 minutes of actual fighting, if not less.
That's what people want to see.
Right. But what I'm saying is if you watch the fights on YouTube, you're definitely not going to go watch the episode and see all the filler.
BattleBots should just put the episodes on YouTube with ads.
But they won't make nearly as, like, they won't recover the cost of the show.
That's why TV's dying.
Well, I mean, I agree.
Because, I mean...
But I'm just saying,
what else,
like,
are you going to do? Pay...
I'm not surprised that they watch TV shows on stream and then potentially get in trouble for it.
I mean, I'm not surprised they're getting in trouble for it. I just think that it's stupid that they're getting in trouble for
it. I know
it.
It's stupid, but they're also kind of stupid. It's like, play stupid games and win stupid prizes. Like,
exactly.
Guys, like, what did you think was going to happen?
It's like, we know that we can't put, like, I want to show trailers of these animes. We can't put that in the podcast. It'll get, like, demonetized.
To, like, it would be stupid.
And taken down by 5 different companies.
Right. It made me think, though, like, Nintendo is super crusty and super, like, it's like Boomer City at the Nintendo office.
Oh, totally.
But one of the biggest things that ever happened on Twitch, like, in my memory, is Twitch plays Pokemon.
Yep.
If that happened today, would Nintendo take it down? Because I don't think there is a more clear example of a use of your IP that is more beneficial to your brand and would drive more people to play your content than Twitch plays Pokemon.
Aren't people interacting, like, directly interacting and impacting, like, what's happening?
Whereas... Yeah, okay, so if you're not familiar with Twitch plays Pokemon, what happened
was... No, I am familiar.
Oh, you are?
No.
Well, I'm just going to
tell
it.
Yeah, but tell everyone.
Is Twitch plays Pokemon was a Twitch stream, that had a emulation. I think it was an emulation. It probably was an emulated version of, like, one of the first Pokemon games. And the Twitch chat was allowed to provide input that then would be tallied up. And I think there were a couple different modes to determine how the voting worked, where they could choose what button to press on the controller. So it's like you can press up, down, left, right, start, select, A, B. And so the chat collectively played Pokemon with sort of almost like zero... It was like a hive mind where there was no, like, single control point. And so you ended up with, like, a disaster where, like, the names of Pokemon would be, like, random characters, or they would go into the start menu and just start, like, messing the settings up. And there was, like, no one could do anything to control it. And I think there were some modes that would give more, like, finite control. But they ended up, like, winning the game somehow. And I don't know how long it took. Let's see. Twitch...
In the original one, wasn't, like, the, like, actual Destiny himself, like, he was able to, like, successfully, like, release a bunch of Pokemon that people were, like, emotionally attached to?
I think so, yeah. They ended up, like, like, freeing Pokemon and dumping. It was just, like, a total disaster. And I think it took 16 days. So I don't know how many people were concurrently playing, but it says 36 million views, and it took 16 days, 24 hours a day, and they finally beat the game, I think. I mean, I actually don't even know how you beat the game, but I think it was like beating the Final Four. What are they called? What do they call that? I forgot.
Yeah, the Elite Four.
The Elite Four. Elite Four, yeah. And
see, it's different. Like, it's like people are like actually playing it through the chat. The difference is that, like, I'll just tell you this. Like, I mean, it's cool when people watch my stuff on stream. Mm-hmm. I think it's awesome. What isn't awesome is, like, they'll go and get a sandwich and disappear for 20 minutes. And then, like, that episode never played. So, like, yeah. I kind of want to see their reaction to, like, the video. But if they walked out to get a sandwich or to take a dump, I don't get to see a reaction. Right? At least I would just want to see that, right?
It's just kind of cheap.
Yeah, and it's like they just leave it playing on, and then no one's paying attention, and it's like, okay.
Like, would it be okay for someone to just stream science YouTube channels on Twitch? So they just pull anything science-related and automatically curate that to a Twitch channel that we get paid nothing for, that's monetized?
If it was like what Pokimane did, I'm fine with that. But if it's like some AI-generated thing that just like plays stuff at like a TV channel, that's stupid. There's like no insight there. There's nothing there. They're just like obviously trying to make money.
It's just other people's work. I mean, if like Pokimane's watching one of your videos, right? I mean, she's gonna say something when you do, like, let's just say you have a gun with a fist and it, you know, it's punching through a brick, right? And then, you know, something like along those lines, right? I mean, she'll probably say something back to something that you do. And whereas
it's like my queen has spoken about me.
Yeah.
Right.
She noticed me.
But it's like if somebody is like ripping off your stuff, that's completely different, right? I mean, if they're watching it, like, I mean, you made it so that people can watch it. So like that's fine. You didn't make it so that somebody can put it on and
so somebody else could broadcast
shit for 20 minutes and then come back.
Because they're essentially publishing your content at that point. Like they're publishing the work that you put into making a video. But at least they're adding something to it, kind of.
Yeah, like the transformative thing that's written into the law or whatever. I don't know.
So do you think that streaming a game of Pokemon that the chat is collectively playing counts as like, you know,
they're all playing the game themselves?
But it's not like a good experience. It's more of like a unique challenge, right?
Yeah, it's a unique experience, and like when somebody wants to play it for themselves, they're legit gonna actually play it differently because they don't have, you know, millions of other people, you know, spamming controls, right?
So do you think that that's fair for like, do you think that counts as like fairless? Like, could you legally do that where it's like, we're gonna try to beat this game by having the chat do it? Like, it's not, you're not like redistributing the game. You're sort of just creating like a very bizarre experience that doesn't necessarily detract from people's future use of the brand. So like if you're playing Pokemon with 1,000 other people, like it's not the actual Pokemon experience, and it might actually push you to go and experience the actual official Pokemon experience.
I was going to say, I think the official thing is that you don't, it's good for game creators and developers for people to play their games online, which is why it's become so popular and they let it happen. But in theory, they can copyright strike you because you are broadcasting copyrighted assets that they have made and they haven't given you explicit permission.
So can you show, like look at, like I'm wearing this,
like
this Pikachu
sweater. It's weird
right
to me,
like,
because
does that mean,
oh no, well no, don't
like,
do that.
Can I not, you see what I'm saying, like where does the line end, like are you allowed to sort of wear merchandise from a brand?
I think the difference is like, I mean, I think clothing is harder to do, but like as in terms of like a digital asset, it's like if I broadcast myself or if I stream myself playing a game, it's not transformative. I'm showing the game as it was intended to be, you know what I mean, created, and I'm just using it and then broadcasting myself.
Yeah, but you can't transform a game either, because like they took down the Pokemon with guns.
Yeah, you're not allowed to transform a game,
right?
Well then,
but for the terms of service. But why did they take it down? Because at that point, like, it almost feels like it not even feels like that is a parody of Pokemon. Like the fact that you're using guns to kill
I think
them.
It's
like,
one of those things
they're not
they,
using
yeah.
the Pokemon
oh,
characters
yeah, totally.
I think
make
he could
their own game.
Challenge it in court, and then he would have to find out what they deem to be.
Because like, what if your narrative was like, oh, we like, you know, man, Pokemon is crazy. Like if you're walking around in the wild and you don't have your own Pokemon, like these things will actually kill you, which is a huge plot hole. which means like if you're walking around in the world, like you should be able to defend yourself. And so I'm gonna make, you know, a Pokemon game where you won't die walking outside of your house, and it's like Pokemon with guns.
At the end
like,
of the day,
you're making fun of the series.
But at the end of the day, he used, in Nintendo's opinion, Pokemon IP, right? Like he used actual.
But for
Pokemon.
Parody, you have to.
Yes, but here's the thing: is fair use is a legal defense; it's not a right. So it's like you have to defend that in court, so they can still take it down. You can contest it, saying it's fair use, and if they reject you contesting it, you have to
that's
bring
where
them,
this. That's where
you
this
have,
is
you have
broken.
To fight it in court.
They should be able to prove. They should have to be able to say that it's not fair use.
I think so.
Because it's punching down. It's they can control anything they want to. If they put a strike on your video, if somebody wants to take down your video, it's gone, and then you have to appeal it.
So I agree, but it's like, let's say you are Nintendo and you have thousands of people a day. You literally cannot, and then it's like, who do you prove it to? Twitter, YouTube? They're not a legal entity. So it's like they're not actually able.
Yeah, probably I'd say it has to go through some sort of arbitration with YouTube.
I think what would happen
I'll say this quick. So YouTube,
and that they have to pay for it.
But YouTube, what they do is, and all the other services is, when they're receiving 8.6 million copyright requests a day, they just go okay, they're just the middlemen. There's no way to handle all that.
What about people who abuse it, where they're like consistently getting denied, like where they claim music was used or they claim something else was used? And like, you know, let's say 90% of their claims end up getting denied, and the, you know, 9% get not only denied, but I'm trying to think of how to say this. Like maybe 1% actually go through positively. So like imagine, 90% get immediately appealed and rejected. 9% actually go to court and they lose. And then 1% they win. So 99% of the time they fail.
I mean, there are supposed to be laws against the abuse of the system.
But there's like not.
No.
Like it keeps happening.
I think that's a bigger problem.
These shell companies with a name that does, you can't figure out where the hell it's coming from.
There's
no
context for it.
Will go in and strike videos, and people will be looking at this like, what are you talking about? Like there was, I see it all the time where they're making videos about the Spider-Man, but it's not even talking. It was like talking about Andrew Garfield. I don't even remember. It was like someone tweeted, I saw it. And they were saying it was being stricken, even though it didn't use any footage from anything, any of the movies or trailers or anything like that. It was just talking about maybe like, you know, the past Spider-Man movies, like the old Spider-Man movies. Like they didn't even watch it.
It's messed up.
Because like to me, the Pokemon with guns, like the worst thing that guy did, and I'm pretty sure they used animations and models from the games. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't watch it now because it's taken down, but I think that they reused assets, because people have done that, right? Where they'll pull that assets from the game.
Yeah.
And so even if it's a parody, I think that crosses the line, where if you're going to do a parody, you can't use other people's, like, you know.
That might be the only reason they were able to do it, because it's kind of like if you were to be like,
I don't think it got there. Hmm? I think they just did a copyright strike.
Oh, and just
to actually get to the trademark, or to get with the infringement of what do you call that? Like the assets.
Yeah, they just did a takedown notice. I'm pretty sure.
No, I know.
Would have to go to court.
In theory, somebody at wherever they requested it is supposed to look at it, and probably
like first it's a cease and desist, then they take you to court.
I'm just saying that somebody when they filed it probably looked at it and went, "Oh yeah, it looks similar to Pokemon. Okay, and it's Nintendo, so." I mean, we don't want to get sued by Nintendo. Let's just take it down.
Yeah, it's definitely.
My guess is they don't want a video of this being on the internet. It's not that it's not fair use; it's that they don't want this. Like,
oh no, that's absolutely
Pokemon
Nintendo's main
shot
reason.
To death.
Why don't they go after all the Pokemon Rule 34?
They can't stop that.
They don't
want
to pay attention to it.
It's harder.
The Barbara Streisand effect.
Yeah,
like, stop
exactly.
Making Pokemon porn, and then they like the Pokemon porn production tenfolds, and then they're sitting there surprised Pikachu face.
Maybe they're honestly not aware of it.
Did you know that, speaking of Netflix or Nintendo being boomers, you used to not be able to upload game footage of Nintendo to YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
You couldn't do it, then you had to like sign up for Netflix or Nintendo's like special program where you were like allowed to do it. They gave you permission to do it if you like filled out forms and registered to do it, and now you can do it.
Uploaded Nintendo gameplay. This is what happened to his bank account. You know, it's funny,
like sitting in like corporate meetings, like there's definitely people who will come, like you see that it's happened in the meetings where like ideas like that get thrown out. And like, it usually just takes one person to agree with them for the whole room to be like, oh yeah, yeah, that's a great idea.
I think there's a UPS commercial.
Like you're just
kind of
like sitting there, like, especially if you're junior, you're just like, no, that's like the worst idea ever, but like, okay, you guys go and do it. Sure. Why not?
Do you know how much money, like there's two games I can think of off the top of my head that have absolutely minted. They've made people rich because of online content. Fall Guys and Among Us.
Oh yeah.
Like, how does Nintendo not see that? Like, they do maybe finally, but like, those games were literally made by streamers.
Yeah.
So how do they not see it? I mean, I'm just going to say, like, because they're in a position of stability, that to them, the risk is probably outweighs the benefit of doing that to them. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm just saying from their perspective, because they've built up what they've built up for, you know, what, 40 years at this point,
right?
Like, that to them, it's probably more of a risk is how they see it. I'm not saying that's right.
You know who works at Nintendo still? The same people. The exact same people. And they're not going to change because they're a bunch of old, crotchety...
I was going to say, I just think...
executives.
I think that there's like a thing too where I feel like it's a thing that when people really get into, very deep into, I'd say like whatever business culture that they're in, is like some of them are probably sitting there just being like, they want to make more money. And they go, well, no one's going to use our content without paying us. So it's like, that's kind of where they get stuck. They're like, no one's going to broadcast our intellectual property without us getting a cut. And then, yeah, you get the Bernard in the room being like, but they're giving out free advertising. And they're like, no, they can pay us and give free advertising. But then just the result is nobody does it. And then it kind of just, no one sees their stuff.
I've experienced that working with bigger companies just sort of as a creator, like dealing with bigger sponsors. And I've talked to like Simone has had sort of some interesting insight to this, where she, I don't remember who they were working with. It was years ago. And her sentiment was like, and this is Simone Yetch, the queen of shitty robots, or yep. I guess, I don't know, the just doing whatever she wants now. Doesn't want that title anymore.
yeah, bleep that part out.
everything, ride or die, baby, unless one of us says something really bad. Then we just cut it.
You'll never even know. Simone was like starting her videos back in like 20. This was before I was on YouTube, like 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great.
Basically, this big company hired her for a campaign, and it was like on her channel and some others. I think it was like some commercials as well. And like her general consensus was, why did you hire me if you're not going to use my expertise? Like, why are you controlling everything I do? If that makes any sense. Does that make sense? Like somebody hires you, and I see this all the time, and they're like, we want to work with you. But then they start telling you everything that you're supposed to do. Yep. Especially if you're making content for your own channel. And you're sitting there looking at them like, I'm sorry, why did you hire me? And how do you think I got here? Do you think I got here because I have no idea what I'm doing? Or do you think I got here because I've like figured out how to make something that people enjoy watching? And now you're telling me that I'm doing that wrong by telling me what to do? Like, what? There's a sponsorship that went horribly south that I really, at some point in time, want to talk about, but I don't think it's been enough time.
Is it the one with all the robots?
Yeah, it's the one with all the
robots. Yeah, I've heard this story.
Yeah. And it was like, I was like, there's two separate videos that we did with this, like for this company. And the first one, they didn't like. It is now like the second most viewed video on my channel. They didn't like it. And so I said, okay, like I'll cut it out. I'll cut all the sponsored bits out. And I will give you guys a different one. And we pitched them a couple other ideas, one of them being testing robot vacuum cleaners. They really liked it. And I said, okay. So we bought all the robot vacuum cleaners. And then they kept delaying and delaying and delaying. And the video ended up getting posted 6 months later because they kept trying to tell us that things were wrong with it. And they said, oh, like, you have to put a disclaimer here, and you have to do this, and you have to, like, blur this person's shirt. Like, they wanted me to blur a t-shirt because it had a picture of Godzilla on it. And it was, like, 3 minutes of footage that would have been, like, manually blurred. Like, just, it would have been, like, a nightmare. And they finally, like, every time they would make a change, I would just change it in a way where I, like, abided by their change, but sort of reintroduced what they were actually complaining about. If that makes any sense, like, totally malicious compliance, because it just started getting ridiculous. And at some point, they said, you know what? We don't care. Remove us from the video, and we'll pay you the entire sponsorship fee.
Oh, man.
I think what's also...
But that video is like the top 5 or 6 most viewed video on the channel. And I'm just sitting here like, this is like, we're talking like a 10 million viewed video.
Well, it's kind of like, I mean, you've talked to this before when you would do a much more integrated sponsor and then they don't send back their comments on the video aren't like, oh, this part made our brand look bad or this was like no good. They go, your joke here wasn't, we didn't find it to be funny. Could you reword it or take the joke out?
Oh my God, yeah.
And it's like, they'll have like 8 comments and you're just like, why are you hiring me? Why are you getting me to do this if you think my jokes suck? And they have like, they're like giving you writing services on how to, oh, we didn't think this part of your video was funny or like flowed. Can you rework the structure? It's kind of like, that's not.
I wish they'd give me more of that.
Kevin's like, wait, I get a free writer.
I know.
No, but I just want to say this quick. Kevin, you don't want it because what happens is if you follow, I've never had to do this because I've never really did like a more integrated one, but it's like if you followed all of their suggestions, your video would be horrible because they didn't, they want you to basically become the most, you know, family friendly, like they literally are making your video in the worst way possible. So it's just like...
Oh, I know. I mean, I'm not talking about the whole video. No. Just the ad, you know, because they give you like a couple of things that they want you to say. Like you've got to say the you know, visit the website with
Kevin,
this
Kevin, it's what to
you've
say,
done,
it's what
you've
to
done fully integrated videos though, Kevin. I feel like you and I are the only ones who have done fully integrated where the brand, like the concept of the video revolves around the brand.
I think that's okay.
That's
though.
Hard.
That's okay. I just think that at the end of the day, they have to let you do you. Whereas if they just basically make
it, you though, is it like it's not producing? It's like we, you know, it's like
right here. I'll give you an example.
Like they're basically just hiring you to make a video for them, and it's just, and then if you made it their way, you'd get like 10 views on the video, and everyone would hate it.
Yes. Okay. Here
is actually bad for them.
Here's an example where I think it's okay for me to sort of share the whole story. This is Michael Reeves. And it was his, I did one too, a sponsored video with Amazon for season 2 of The Boys, which is a good show. You should watch it. I really like The Boys. They're not sponsoring.
Yeah, they're not.
It is a good show. I watched the show before they sponsored us too. And they told Michael to do whatever he wanted. So you're dealing with an ad agency. So there's a couple of people. Like you have a show that has money to promote. And they're like, okay, let's find some people that we think would be a good fit. There's like, oh, this kid, this crazy goblin creature on the internet that makes robots, Michael. Let's have them do something. And they're like, the laser babies, like destructive and, you know, kind of on brand. So they said, do whatever you want. And so he like did this whole draft of a video. He gave it to them. And then they came back and they said, anything except this. Like somehow they gave him free reign and he came up with literally the something thing that offended them the most.
Did any fraction of what he proposed make it into the final cut?
Yeah, it's definitely like, I mean, their changes weren't even necessarily bad, which is part of the problem.
The issue is
they had pitched an idea to him. They had this whole plan of what he should do in the video, and then his video essentially turned into making fun of their plan.
But I always find it funny. Like this is
they were so mad.
This is the thing. Like if someone hired me on or paid for something on my main channel, it's generally. Yeah. I mean, there's no swearing. It's pretty family friendly. But it's like when you hire Michael. You can't be.
Don't tell him you can do anything you want.
Like you can't tell him to do. Like you're. I don't. First of all, it's like, how do you watch his videos, and then hire him for that, and then you're surprised by what you get. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
They didn't watch his videos. They see the numbers. That's why.
I think that they did.
Bernard, you have to watch at least one video.
Had to have watched the videos.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, like, from their perspective, like, this is the Wild West to them.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, like, they just looked at the sheer numbers and, like, oh, okay, how about that person?
This was bigger than that,
They get back a Michael video, and they're just shocked.
Imagine Nintendo being like, hey, can you promote Pokemon Arceus? And then they get Pokemon Gun instead.
Yeah. Honestly, though, that's a great... I think that is a, that would have been a campaign, great, a very successful campaign. Yeah, I just... The kind of feedback... Like here, I'll give you an example. So for the Roomba pudding videos, the video where it was everyone had a Roomba and it was a competition to see whose Roomba could like perform the best in these horrible situations. When we put knives on them and balloons, one of the notes they gave is like, oh, you have to put a warning on this that says that it was done in a controlled environment. So like, like little robot vacuum cleaners driving around with knives taped to them required a warning on screen. And I'm like, you know, I have to listen to it because it's like the legal team, their legal team is saying this. And it's like, yeah, I guess technically. So what I did is I put the warning label on everything that had the robots in it. And so there was warning labels when they were sucking up Cheerios. There's warning labels when they have knives taped to them. There's warning labels when they're driving around in chocolate pudding. And it just like, I feel like, you know, I can be a little bit of a nightmare to work with. But also if you give me stupid feedback,
it kind of
like, dude,
I'll say
I had to put a warning label when we stuck, like, I also did a video for the boys. I had to put a warning label when I stuck the baby in the dryer. It's a doll. It's a baby doll. And they wanted a warning label. This is the legal team, too. This isn't the creative department that you're talking to 90% of the time. This was the legal team comes back after the video's done, and they say you have to put a warning saying don't put babies into a dryer.
It
makes it funnier, though, honestly, to have that on the screen.
It reminds me, though, of, like, for example...
It worked good.
Like, my video where I do stuff with piranha and, like, I dissolve chicken. And you'll get comments where someone goes, where's the warning to tell people this is dangerous? I'm like, the video is about dissolving chicken. Like, it's like, why would you need a warning that the solution is dangerous? Is that not built into the entire topic? But it's like, what if someone doesn't know it's dangerous after watching? Like, they watch it and then try to make it and they don't know it can burn you. It dissolved chicken. Like,
I know.
But you still feel like, I have to put a warning? Because somebody might make it and then...
Dude, for the longest time, everyone was putting little disclaimers at the bottom of their description where it was like, this video is for entertainment purposes only.
Blah, blah. That's
like,
so stupid.
That would never hold up anywhere. That's just like one of those Facebook memes of like reshare this if you don't want Facebook to share your data.
Well, that 99% of you aren't subscribed.
It reminds me exactly of when you get an email from somebody and it says like at the bottom, it's like, this is a confidential email. Like no one's allowed sharing it. I'm like, do you think anyone who's actually wanting to share this is going to listen to anything?
No.
I'll just tell you in the corporate side, like if you let legal run the show, like you'll never get anything done because it's just.
It's true.
You never get anything done by playing it safe.
The thing is,
I have, the status quo.
They aren't wrong for being concerned.
They're not wrong. And that's
because people get sued for that.
Basically their job is CYA, right? And it's like if you want a CYA for everything, like you basically,
what's a CYA?
Cover your
ass. Okay.
Well, it's because if you keep doing stuff like that, eventually you might run into a problem.
Yeah.
Okay, here's like maybe a general description of how a legal team will work. You're a company who makes chainsaws. You make this product, you do all your testing, you do all your branding and marketing, and then legal team comes back and it's like, can we remove the chain from them because it makes it kind of dangerous?
Wait, what?
Kevin, it's just silence.
The legal team tells you to take the chain off the chainsaw because it's dangerous and somebody might sue you because of it.
No,
so they sell chainsaws.
They meet in the middle ground. They give warnings. Like,
oh, do they really? Do they?
No. Well, I'm just saying, like, that's if the legal team had their way, they would literally tell you to take the chain off the chainsaw.
And
you'd be selling a product that doesn't work.
Assumption of risk.
What they actually do is meet in the middle ground and just say, "Don't touch the chainsaw with bare hand while it's running." And you're just like, "Wow, I'm so."
No, it'll just say, "Don't touch it at all. Don't touch the chain. Do not touch chain with hand."
Yeah, it's like, "Do not touch while it's running." It's just like, okay.
So I've never done like a fully integrated video, and like I can just imagine like, you know, in corporate, you know, this.
Yeah.
I mean, every it's like time, the culture is not compatible, and like, you know, it.
You need
like there's a degree of incompatibility, you know, in the creator space versus like.
Oh, it's complete incompatibility.
Corporate.
You need a very strong management team. So like, whenever we do this, there is like, you know, like my manager's really good and he deals with that stuff of basically arguing with them and telling them that that's stupid. And even then, every time we're done, we say that was a mistake and we should never do it again.
Yep.
Because the amount of time you spend going back and forth to deal with this brand trying to like cover their ass and protect themselves, even though they hired you to begin with, is the same amount of time it would take you to just do, you know, normal videos, like multiple normal videos with, you know, a more casual sponsor on it. Mm-hmm. And so there's really like, you might get paid more for the fully integrated, but like, who cares? You could just do, you know, smaller stuff with less pain. It's just, it's kind of cool though to be, have the opposite, the opportunity to work with Amazon.
Yeah.
Or
that's,
you know,
that's
Universal
worth it.
We did, yeah. Like the video we did with Universal, they gave us a really cool opportunity. We got to go train at the stunt studio where Keanu Reeves trains for everything. And so that one actually wasn't also that bad. There is a bit in the video though where I complain about not being able to show a picture of the of Keanu training there because they don't have the legal agreement from him to include a picture of him, even though I had permission from the photographer who had taken the picture. I didn't have a release from Keanu and they couldn't get it. And so I literally redrew over the picture in Microsoft
Paint. You should have tweeted him and asked for permission.
It just, it just doesn't. You can't. You literally can't. It's just too much work. So it's incompatible. And if you ever get the opportunity to do it, like unless they give you an opportunity, I wouldn't do it. Like we did one with the US Navy, which was like an amazing experience. Like it still had its own nightmares, but like that was surreal being able to like go on base and like see an aircraft carrier and go on it in person. Like that was crazy.
Yeah, I feel like unless it gives you an opportunity, if they're just like, oh, this is fully integrated, so you're going to get paid 50% more than you normally do. It's just the amount of nightmares involved. It's just not worth it. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you pay for that.
Oh yeah,
right?
I mean that's why they're paying you more. But if you get an opportunity like going on an aircraft carrier, that's what you went on, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it was aircraft carrier.
Yeah, and or doing like the stunt training, it's like you wouldn't be able to do that otherwise. So it's like almost they're paying you more to do something.
Yeah.
More interesting.
Yep.
I just don't
I mean, I don't know.
I wouldn't do a fully integrated.
It doesn't really fit your channel, Nigel. Like, it doesn't really fit. Like, I feel like Kevin and I are going to be more likely to be able to, like, work something like that into a video.
Yeah.
Dude, like, if I got sponsored by anime. I remember Alan tried to get
sponsored
by
anime.
He's sponsored by anime. He got sponsored by Crunchyroll for My Hero Academia.
Yeah.
My Hero Academia is, like, a stereotypical garbage anime that I will watch, but it is garbage. But I'll watch it because it like, My Hero Academia is kind of like my like, I don't want to say perfect, but it's like it's sort of trash. I mean, it's not sort of trash; it is trash. It's definitely super fan service. But it's like just sort of disposable. You can just like veg out and watch it.
Give me lots of angry comments now.
Oh, that's fine. Fight me.
Everybody that if you watch My Hero Academia,
it's not good. Anyone who says it's good,
I know
is an
anybody
idiot.
That thinks it's good.
Yes.
I mean, it's a joke. Even between everybody that watches it, they know how stupid.
But I watch it. On our Patreon post, we're going to watch a Darling in the Franks
big
clips,
old
and I want
anime.
Absolutely, I would love to see Nigel's face when he watches. We're gonna pull some of the clips. I'm just gonna find a YouTube compilation for anyone who isn't gonna listen to the Patreon. Thanks, Bernard, for being on. You can go check out his channel. We'll see you guys on Patreon.
Yes.
Bye.